them in what has been a magical season to this point. If they do, they need it now. Christie kicks it high and short. Going to be fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25.
Yeah,
pitches
it
back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something.
30,
he's
40,
got something.
50,
he's got
40,
it. He's got
20,
it.
20, 10.
He's got
5,
it.
End zone. Touchdown, Titans. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle. Tennessee has pulled a miracle.
Not just one of the greatest calls or plays in Titan history, one of the greatest calls and plays in the history of the NFL.
Incredible.
And absolutely incredible. Of course, Frank Wycheck threw the lateral to Kevin Dyson for the Music City Miracle, and I know that will forever haunt you, that ball was not thrown to you, D-Mace.
No, not really.
When's a win?
A win's a win, and I always look at it from the standpoint of that, and I told Kevin this, and I'm sure I told Frank this. That play was for them. It wasn't for me. That play was for them. That moment was for them. My plays and my moments came before and obviously after, but that play, that moment was made for those two guys.
I love that that's part of the story, though. Uh-huh. It kind of makes the story. There's so many
layers
to the
story. But it's even that's just one layer.
Yeah, because Lorenzo wasn't supposed to catch the ball.
Lorenzo wasn't supposed to catch the ball. Dyson wasn't supposed to be out there. It was supposed to be Anthony Dorsett. Anthony Dorsett gets hurt. So Kevin, they just throw Kevin out there. He has to, because Kevin didn't work on it much. He may have ran it in practice once, if that, because maybe we didn't, you know, maybe I didn't practice on a Friday, a Saturday, or Anthony didn't. So Kevin may have ran it only, like, seriously. He ran it maybe once, and once is stretching it. I need to ask Kevin to see if he ever ran it in practice, because I don't think he ever ran it in practice.
Which makes it even that more special.
Yeah, right.
Of all of the things that had to go right in order for that miraculous moment to happen.
And everybody's got their story of where they were when it happened. So this is a perfect time to bring George in, because we were doing shows at the Wild Horse Saloon every Sunday, and it was taking off like gangbusters. We were getting these huge crowds, and they would shuttle fans over to the stadium from there, or you could walk across the bridge. And so George anchored the coverage. So George, as we'll bring him in here, was in a very unique spot because he had to go start the show. And he's thinking as he's walking out of there, I'm going to go host this show and everybody's going to be in a terrible mood. They've lost the game, very late in the game. Everybody's going to be depressed. And then this happens, right? So let's bring in George. And that's a great place to start this whole discussion. Plaz, are you with us?
Hey, Willie, how you doing?
We're hanging in there. We're talking through it, you know, as I'm sure you've been doing with your friends. And you and I had a conversation yesterday about all this, but it's so fitting. We're just talking about the Music City Miracle there, but you know, Frank's persona, you were kind of bringing him along. He was a regular guest, the Monday night player show that you started while they were still the Oilers, and now is taking off. And the Music City Miracle, you had to get over to the Wild Horse to start the show. And so tell us exactly where you were when the lateral happened.
I was trying to walk over there, and I heard this roar. It sounded like a freight train. And I thought, oh, my God, what has happened? And I go back far enough where I can see the scoreboard. And so I can see what's happened. And now they're going in the whatever they call that thing, you know, where they decide
tent.
What's going to go on. I remember thinking, if they rule against the Titans, those officials will never get off that field alive. Anyway, a couple of days earlier, I'd said to Frank, hey, win or lose, come over there. He was a frequent guest at the Wild Horse. He loved what we were doing. You know, the place was packed all the time. It was an incredible promotion. But when I realized that he was in the middle of this miracle, I was like, there's no way he's coming over here. So the post game starts at 3, and I mean, it is standing room only all the way up to the third deck. there had to have been 3,500 people in there, and the fire marshal, you know, thank God, was nowhere to be found. And we go, it's about 4:30, and we go to a commercial break, and, you know, it was almost like the Johnny Carson set where we had that big curtain
right
behind us on the stage, and I hear Frank yell out, he goes, "Hey, Plaz, your daddy's here."
That's right.
And let me try to do it the way he would do it. Hey, your daddy's here. And I remember I went back there and I said, "Hold on." I said, "Let me bring you out where nobody knows what's coming." And when he came out there, I remember thinking, this is what a rock star gets, you know, when here's Mick Jagger and, you know, all these people go wild. I'd never heard anything like that. And, you know, when he came out there, I mean, he could have run for president. And then later that night, the Predators had a home game. And I want to say it was like late in the first period. He calls me and he might have had a couple by then.
Good
and
bet.
He goes, "Hey, man, can you believe what I've done?"
Can you believe what happened? Yeah.
That sounds funny.
He goes, "I'm on CBS tomorrow." And I remember I said, "You've had a couple, haven't you?" "Yeah."
But that was the thing about him. He never lost sight of just these a regular guy that all this stuff is happening to. Great player, but kind of kept those feet on the ground. When did you notice, Plaz, that Frank, you know, just sort of ended up gravitating towards being the right guy to do the radio shows and stuff? Because I don't know that he came in with, like, he had that distinct voice, right? That real laid back, "Hey, guys, what's up?" You know, it wasn't like, "Mr., I have this great radio voice and maybe should be doing media."
No.
But why do you think he gravitated towards it so much?
You know, Willie, I don't know. Something came up yesterday.
You there, George? You there, George? Oh, we lost him. We have to get him back for a second here. Disconnect.
Sound like it's got to be a good story. I was waiting to hear
it,
too.
Because,
now it's a cliffhanger.
Because the radio show started at a place called Second and Goal downtown. In the early, and this was before Broadway was anything close to what it is now. So if you go to been to Broadway, or if you're one of those people who lives here, like, "I don't go to Broadway anymore, man, it's too crowded. It's too many people down there." That was not the case in 1998.
Well, you ain't want to go down there anyway.
Exactly. It wasn't like the hip place. Yes, like, it hadn't taken off. So the arena was so new, it had not really taken form yet, but they had this show. And, you know, we couldn't figure out, we can't, look, this is the NFL. You got a really good player here. He's bringing a player guest. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Eddie George 1 week. It's Steve McNair. And not that many people came down there. We're like, what's the deal with this? This is the NFL. But the table was being set for big things later. But Plaz continued there. We're talking about the beginning when you kind of built the relationship with Frank and you guys came up with the idea of doing the radio show.
Yeah, so and I'm sorry, I don't really know what happened. I'm sitting in a chair in my den. So he came on as a guest on Anthony Dorsett's show. And the truth of it is, Anthony really didn't want to do a radio show, and I don't know who.
Well, it was his dad. Remember, Tony Dorsett helped set him up. He knew the people. What was the name of the place?
Hard Rock.
It wasn't Hard Rock, but what was the other one? That Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone. It was downtown for a while.
That wasn't Hard Rock?
It wasn't Hard Rock. It was, oh, man. Why can't I think
of it? You know, you're right. It was something else. But anyway.
And it didn't last very long.
Frank came on as a guest, and he was terrific. And after that show, you know, about 10 minutes later, he and I are walking somewhere, and I said, "Would you consider doing this next year?" And I mean, he jumped at it. I think he was one of those guys in Houston, you know, they got no attention down there the last 2 years. They were kind of, you know, it was kind of like they were outcasts. And all of a sudden they came here, and people gravitated to him. And I've always believed, number one, that it's the best locker room that has ever come down the pike in the NFL. I thought going in they'd all be a bunch of jerks. And instead, it was 30, 40 deep of some of the really good human beings. Derek, Frank Wycheck, McNair, Eddie George, Marcus Robertson, later Billy Volek, Drew Bennett, Peter Sermon, all kinds of Joe Bowden.
Brad Hopkins, obviously.
Yes. I'm leaving names
Chris
out.
Chris Sanders. I mean, but there's one ever. Lorenzo Neal, like an unbelievable personality. Yeah.
And Frank was sort of a ringleader as we got going. He'd get them to come over to the show down at the Wild Horse. And so because of that, Willie and I ended up meeting, Derek, a lot more of you guys than we probably would have really ever gotten to know. And when we started doing the show out at Jonathan's in Cool Springs, that made a lot more sense. A lot of Titan fans out there. And Frank had a PR side of him that was willing at that time to kiss babies, shake hands, take pictures. The truth of it is, I got to deal with the good Frank before all the problems started. And, you know, it just, it worked really well.
Well,
it was the Planet Hollywood.
Planet Hollywood, yes. That was it.
Planet Hollywood.
Planet Hollywood, yeah. That was crazy. What a crazy spot. Plaz, I want to bring in another perspective you know well. I want to bring in Jacob Underwood to this because he grew up watching these teams. And so we're going to see if we can conference call you guys in here. Grew up watching, and then, as you know, Plaz joined us as first an intern and then in promotions and then became our show producer, and now he works with me with the Predators Bally team as a statistician, the graphics. He's the guy behind the scenes. But, Jacob, are you there?
I am here, Willie.
Okay. Well, say hello to Plaz.
Good to talk to you.
Hey, Jacob, I really appreciated your text last night. I knew you were busy. I wasn't going to bother you, but thank you.
But Plaz, I think go ahead, Jacob. Because Plaz, I thought Jacob had some. I think he shared some of this with you. But he and I had some great back and forth yesterday, just perspective on just looking back at those times. Jacob, go ahead.
George made an interesting point that we kind of glossed over when you're telling the story about the Music City Miracle. You're walking back across the bridge, and for those that may have just tuned in, how did you find out what happened?
Basically, I heard this roar and kind of went back toward the stadium and saw the scoreboard, which wasn't as good as the one they've got now. But I could tell enough to know, okay, something really big's happened. And then people started filling me in on what was going on. Now, you probably remember some stuff I don't, so share it.
Well, what I'm getting at is in the year 2023, what would you do? You would pull your phone out. Mm-hmm. You would watch the game as you walk across the bridge.
Right.
Today, we couldn't do that. Back in the day, you couldn't pull your phone out of your pocket and listen to the radio broadcast.
I didn't even have a cell phone at that time.
Right? It's interesting to think about. I was born in 1986, so I'm actually only 12 at the time when all of that's happening, but you have to remember this era was unfolding without social media. We had TV stations, a couple of newspapers, and maybe one or two sports talk radio stations in town. And so it was so different that it's honestly hard to put into the proper context for those that were not around. Really what the show that you're talking about, George, what that meant to the fabric of the city.
Yeah, you're right. He drew people. He was an absolute attendance getter. If you said the Frank Wycheck show, man, they would come out there because they certainly were not coming out Willie to see you and me.
No, that's for sure. They were like, when are the players
even
getting
here? Even when Willie had hair, they still wasn't coming out.
That's for sure. That's for sure. But that is a good point about the social media. It was just a different time for sure that you they weren't even really texting. There wasn't texting, right? It was just all, I got to get to a TV, got to get to a radio. And so that's how it worked. But definitely special times. And then, you know, Frank evolved as he transitioned out of, he retired from playing and he went right into doing the sports talk thing. And he by that time, he was just a natural. The groundwork was laid for a really good radio career.
Yeah. Derek, let me ask you this. When did the Titans sign Jackie Harris?
Oh, man. Jackie.
I think that was for 99, right?
Yeah, that was heading it was into the 99, that offseason, right before the 90. So it was 98, 99. Yep. No, 99, 2000.
In fact, that's the trivia question. Yeah. Jackie Harris had the most catches of the the Titans in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And really, I think.
Oh, go ahead, Derek.
No. I was just saying, I think they end up signing Jackie because of some of the injuries that Frankie was having.
Yeah, and you guys love to run the two tight end, go big.
Love running two tight end formation. So those two guys work well together.
So by that point, I'd gotten to know Frank well enough that I knew that he was a little paranoid about it. Because you got to understand, this was a guy that the Redskins had cut. The Oilers picked him up, and then he sort of struck gold. But I'm not sure he ever, at that point, fully believed it. So he was a little paranoid about Jackie Harris. And one night, he and I and Michael Rohn.
Oh, Rohner.
And Willie, what did he call him?
Rohner.
So
Jaylen. He had all the nicknames for everybody.
Yeah, so the three of us go to a Nashville Cats
Stepper.
Game. Stepper, looking good.
Definitely.
So we go after the game to the NASCAR Cafe, and all of a sudden, about 10 minutes after we get there, these five college kids see Frank, and they just are gaga. Oh, it's Frank Wycheck, blah, 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 and who's this loser over here? You know, it's me. And so finally, I kind of butt in, and I said, you know, I'm thinking about doing a Titan player show. And even though Frank and I had already made the deal, but I could see his eyes getting kind of big, I said, who should I get to be the player? And one of them, because I want one of them to say Jackie Harris and see what happens. And so one of them says Al Del Greco. And I said, you know, Al's a great guy, and he's a good friend, but he's a kicker. And so then I said, what would you think about the new guy that they just signed, Jackie Harris? And one of those kids bit. Yeah, Jackie Harris, that'd be great.
Yeah, he used to play for the Packers.
And Frank went berserk. Now, I'm going to try and clean this up, but Frank goes, the only person that's doing a show is me. And he keeps pointing at himself, and he goes, we're going to have Roan's Rumors, and we're going to have, and he keeps going with all these goofy segments. Yeah.
We're going to expand the show to 2 hours. It's going to be the best thing.
And Rohner turns to me, and he goes, if Frank thinks I'm coming out there every week for nothing, he's got another thing coming. Well, Willie reminded me yesterday that the first Frank Wycheck show we ever did, when he was a player, Rohner, who I think was probably his closest friend in all of that, Rohner was his first guest. And Rohner said on the air to Frank, if you think I'm coming out here for a ham sandwich, you got another thing coming.
He announced he was not going to do this every week for nothing. So
right.
That was good. It's just all down to earth. So much fun back in the day.
Yeah.
All right, Jacob, you get the last word because, unfortunately, Plaz, we do have to pay the bills here at some point.
Yes, I know how that works.
Yes, you do.
Well, I feel undeserving of the last word. I guess, if you look at Frank's statistics, for somebody who's maybe new to town that didn't follow the time that we're talking about, it's only 5,000 career receiving yards at the Titans. And so you think, why was Frank such a big deal to this market? You know, what's the connection point? But really, it's everything that George has been talking about, that Frank was the original rock star. Frank was the focal point for me. He was the first jersey I ever had when I was 13 years old. He was the sort of the rock star for the team personality-wise. He was the one that everybody looked up to when you were the middle school, high school kid. And he's the one who's kind of withstood the test of time for those of us early Titan fans as the franchise has taken footing here.
Yeah, well said.
And George, before we let you go, we did have a texter text in. Wanted your expertise, if you remember this, about Frank Wycheck and the girls' softball challenge.
You know, it happened after I was no longer there. But he shot off his mouth, and
I forgot about this.
He did this on a number of things. Frank, even though I think he wasn't totally certain that he was an all-pro tight end, had decided that he could do anything in athletics. And so he shot off his
don't
mouth.
Don't we all? Don't we all, Plass?
Yeah. Yeah. And so they made a big to-do out of it, and they brought a softball pitcher out there who absolutely stuck it up his butt and just made him look stupid. But he was really a good sport about it, and I think people got a kick out of it.
Yeah. I forget who the pitcher was, but she was good. Uh-huh. She was really good.
Mm.
Yeah, she might as well have been Bob Gibson.
Well, George, Jacob, appreciate your time. Appreciate all your stories about Frank Wycheck. I know that we're all with a heavy heart today, but it's fun to remember all the good times. So, George, Jacob, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you. There were some great times, and that's what I know. Jacob, Willie, Mace, all of us that knew him, we're trying to remember the good times, because there were some really funny, good moments with him.
Yeah, absolutely. George, Jacob, thank you for stopping by. We'll continue the conversation coming up next and get into your memories, some of your favorite stories about Frank Wycheck. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.